The Atta Dishmaya, we are in Biyam Darkecha on the chapter of Kedusha. What is Kedusha? What is sanctity? It is page Kuf Yud Zayin. Kedusha. Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Adonai Eloichem. Holy you shall be, because I am holy, the Lord your God. Havaya your God. That's the Pasuk. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. To be sanctified, to be holy. Kedusha is maftach lechol avodat Hashem yitbarach. Kedusha, sanctity, is the key that opens the gates to every single aspect of avodat Hashem. Because only by way of a person sanctifying himself will he be successful in clinging to Hashem, having dveikut to Hashem, and then the Shekhinah will dwell upon the person, and your soul will be connected to its root, and then all of the klipot, all of the husks, the layers that we've covered our lives with, our perceptions with, our hearts with, they start to run away from you. And then you can start to live a life of truth. But whoever doesn't sanctify themselves, then the klipa, the evil energies of this world, the things that cover up the clarity of God, the reality that everything is Him, they want to grab onto you. And they bother you a lot. Right? And they start to make everything blurry. In your head and in your heart. Meaning you can't think straight and you can't feel the right emotions. וככל שאחיזתן גדולה רחמן יצרן, כך אינה מצליח להגיש את השם דבח ואת האמונה. The stronger the klipa is, the stronger of a hold the negative energies of the world have on you, the more you're connected to this world and less to Hashem, then the harder it's going to be, God forbid, for you to be successful in feeling God and living a life of emunah. Therefore, Hashem Yitbarach, Hashem blessed be He, always comes to warn us about Kedusha, more and more and more. And He requests and asks for us to sanctify ourselves. Again, sanctity in Hebrew, sanctity, and in English as well, right, is separate. I'm specifically going on that word and not on holy, right? Holy is what we classically think of it, but sanctity means separate. Right? Different and removed from. This is an essential piece of work that we have to do for every single aspect of our service of Hashem. Liyot am kadosh la'adonai Eloheinu. To be a sanctified nation to Hashem our God. So what is the sanctity? What is Kedusha? Kedusha is shayachut v'ityachadut im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedusha means a relationship and a unity with Hashem, with God. Hagdarat inyan kedusha hi, what is the to define this? What does it mean? Shenei shayichim laHashem Yitbarach, that we shall be connected to Hashem and we belong to Him, so to say. Mufrashim u'miyuchadim lo, we'll be separate and unified just to Him. Like a woman who is sanctified and unified just to her husband, she's not allowed to be with anybody else. She's shayechet miyuchedet rak lo. It's just him. Her relationship, she has one husband. That's it. Kach anu miyuchadim liot shayechim rak laHashem Yitbarach. So too, we are unified to be just with Hashem. To really only be connected to Him in truth. Because He is our whole entire life. But in order to merit to this, we have to separate ourselves from all of the husks and the negative forces of this world. Anything that covers up the reality of Hashem. And all different aspects of what that means. Because they are, so to say, the opposition to Hashem. And they are what push us away from this feeling of connection to Hashem. Therefore, underneath this general term that's called Kedusha, there's a lot of different aspects, right? It's not just do this and you're going to be holy. No, there's a whole spectrum of what that means. Uveroshem shmira vegedur me'arayot. The first things first is guarding yourself and setting up boundaries when it comes to promiscuity and sexual ideas. Aval gam shmira me'avodah zarah. You also have to protect yourself from serving idols and putting your beliefs in things that are not God. guarding yourself from eating non-kosher foods. Veshmira mikol minyanei tuma. So too, guarding yourself from all different aspects of what's called tuma, impurities in this world. Shekulam inyanam hu. The whole entire idea is, and everything that we just mentioned, archaka me'aklipot ve'me'atuma. Distancing ourselves from things that cover up God's reality and things that make us, by inherently engaging with them, impure. Right? Deber al adat b'nei Yisrael ve'amart aleim kedoshim tiyu. Speak to the congregation of Israel and tell them, kedoshim tiyu. You guys will be holy. The Zohar explains it that way. Right? The pshat of the Torah is, you have a mitzvah to sanctify yourself. The Zohar says, kedoshim tiyu, meaning holy you will be. The Zohar says, no matter what you do, in the end you're going to be holy. You want to go the right way, you're going to go the wrong way. You're a Jewish soul, in the end, you're going to be sanctified and unified with Hashem. But why delay the process? Why focus on this world and have to go through Gehinnom and all these different places for it to happen? It's going to happen. But why not help yourself out? Why not get there on your own initiative instead of being forced to that? Why? Ki kadosh ani Adonai Elohechem. Why do you have to be holy? Sanctified? Because I am sanctified, says Hashem. And I'm your God. And Rashi explains there, Havu pushim min arayot. Rashi says, what does it mean to be kadosh? Separate yourself from promiscuity, from sexual immorality. And the rabbis explain, Lama ne'emar parasha zo behakel. Why was it kol adat Yisrael? Why does this have to say? Why was this have to be said to all of the nation? Why wasn't it enough just to tell the heads of the nation, and then they'll pass it down? No, everybody heard this commandment. Why? Because the majority of the Torah is dependent on the fact of being holy. It's not enough that a person removes himself from things that are completely forbidden. That's what the Torah is telling you to do. You have to not eat pig, right? There's no question there. You have to keep Shabbat. No one's talking to you about those things. That's for sure. Everybody needs to do an additional level of fences, right? And to, when it comes to Kedusha, when it comes to sanctity, you have to be a little bit more machmir. You have to be more stringent on yourself. Because these klipot, these husks, are very, very dangerous. And like the rabbi said, eno protopis l'arayot. There's no protection against sexual immorality. The biggest tzaddik in the world could fall if he doesn't protect himself. And the main success of a person to stand against the Yetzara and to sanctify himself is only by way of fences. Only by way of distancing yourself, that you shouldn't come to the possibility of a test. But it has to be with simcha. All of the fences that you put up and all of the distancing that you do, it has to come with simcha. And it also has to come, וגם יראה לבני ביתו למקושרים בו. Right, show the people that you're connected to, show the people in your house how good it is to be holy and how much happiness it brings to you. Because the fences are meant to push us away from the negative things, the negative forces, which are the enemies of the soul. And they bring us to the life of truth. They bring us closer to the life of truth. And all these ideas of what's called fences, don't look at your friend. Don't look at what other people are doing. And to put down what they're doing. You have to judge everybody favorably, but don't get pushed down by your friends either, right? Don't let them influence you. Don't look at them and say, oh, he's doing this, that means I have to do that. That may be what he needs to do. You might not need to do that, right? On the other hand, don't look at him and be like, oh, he's chill on that idea. Maybe I could also be chill there. Maybe there you actually have to do more than him, right? So when it comes to Kedusha, sanctity, it's a mitzvah on us. We can't be looking at everybody else. We have to be doing what we got to be doing. Every single Jew has to guard his own soul. If you want some connection to godly light, you have to do the work. Like it says, V'itkadashnim v'itim kedoshim, sanctify yourselves and you will be holy. And Rashi explains, what is that? Avodah Zarah. V'anshei kodesh tihunli, you will be holy people for me, God says. Ve'itim li kedoshim, you will be holy for me. You will be sanctified to me. Ki kadosh ani avaya, I am holy, I am sanctified. And that's all said about food that you're not allowed to eat. And the rabbis explain what happens when a person eats non-kosher food. It seals up their heart, that they won't be able to receive godliness. They won't be able to comprehend even what the rabbi is saying. They won't be able to read Torah and really get anything out of it. You eat non-kosher food. makes a person, so to say, stupid. Right? It's like not really stupid. It means sealed off. It means like a vacuum seal, right? But your heart will be cleaned, sealed off. Your brain will be sealed off. The natural outcome of that is you're going to be stupid. You're not going to be able to learn. You're not going to be able to sanctify or make any progress in life. And there's people that go to all these different types of places. And they say, you know, hey, the person that's selling me the food has a beard. He has peyot. He has a picture of the Rebbe on the wall, right? Or they trust some kind of hechsher that's not recognized, that they don't know anything about. And that's not proper. Person has to check what you're putting inside your body and what are you eating. Because this goes on your soul. The food that you eat physically affects your soul. It does. So if, God forbid, a person falls to the klipot, then his heart starts to get dirty, and he's not able to feel Hashem. And then he doesn't feel any sweetness in his service of Hashem. He doesn't, spirituality for him is not something that's enticing, it's not something that's exciting for him. And you feel that you have to take your life force and your vitality from some foreign source, right? It needs to come from the bar, it needs to come from this place, it needs to come from eating, it needs to, all these different things that are not godly. And by way of this, you get more and more impurity, more and more impurity. And then more and more you don't feel God, God forbid. Like the rabbi said, avira goreret avira. One sin pulls another sin, in order to connect us back to what we learned in the morning, Yehuda. Therefore, a person who wants to connect to Hashem, he wants to start keeping Torah and start doing the right thing. First things first, chova litamech lichot et hara. You have to make an effort to cut off negativity and evil from your life. Kol echad lefi erko, everyone according to what you're dealing with. You're all individuals that need to look at yourselves. And you have to figure out what is hard for you. What are the things in your life that are considered bad? It might not be for your friend that thing's bad. For you, it's considered bad. And you have to do some work to cut yourself off from that thing. And to purify yourself from all of the klipot. Because this is the basis, this is the foundation of everything when it comes to feeling God. But this is zerak ketnai yesodi liskot lekedusha. This is just an essential, fundamental, an essential condition to merit to sanctity. But the main kedusha itself, shalev yesh shayach rak laHashem itbarach, that your heart should belong only to Hashem. Kmo isha neemina lebala, like a woman who's loyal to her husband. Shirotze et retzono, right? The woman, her husband says something, that's what she wants. She wants the will of her husband. After a while, she starts to even do it without even talking to him. Right? She doesn't need to ask him any questions. She knows what her husband wants, and she does it. She only does the will of her husband, she clings to him. So too, we need to do this. Right? It's not enough that the wife doesn't cheat on her husband. Great, you didn't cheat on me. No one's asking him. That's obvious, right? It's not enough that you don't cheat on your husband. It's not enough that we're not doing Avodah Zarah. We have to do the will of Hashem and have our heart attached to Him. And in order to merit to this, we have to increase how many the actions that we do that can actually sanctify us. Ma'asim ha-mikadshim. What are they? Learning the Holy Torah. Learning Torah increases your Kedusha. That's always the number one thing. You want to actually know how to get holy in any aspect of your life? Learn Torah. It's the number one answer, always. You can tell how holy you are by how much Torah you learn. It's literally, you can say that. You can say that, Adrek, right? How much Torah you learn, everyone according to their level. Like we learned in the morning, right? Some people are meant to learn 8 hours a day, and some people are only allowed by God to learn 2 hours a day. But what are you doing those 2 hours? Are they too powerful hours, or are they too, like, hours with your phone? Right? You have to learn Torah, and you have to pray, and you have to do mitzvot, and you have to feel dvekut. You have to feel a connection to Hashem, an attachment to Hashem. And that's how we strengthen and we add more and more relationship to Hashem, to feel in everything. So what's the internal aspect of all these levels of Kedusha? Shielo rak etzon Kedusha. The goal is that you should have only a desire towards sanctity. And all of your vitality should come only from Hashem and His Torah and His Avodah. And you won't want at all anything besides that. And you're going to actually start to hate negativity. You're going to hate bad things. But you can't get to this straight away. The beginning is, first things first, you have to stop doing bad things and start to separate yourself from negative lusts of this world. Everyone according to what you're dealing with. Again, right? Some people it's sexual things, some people it's drinking, some people it's drugs, some people it's eating, some people it's whatever it is, right? You know yourself and you know what you have to work on. Phone, which is the last chapter in this chapter of sanctity, is a whole portion on what are smartphones. We're gonna do it, and we're gonna do it on a smartphone too. And by way of separating yourself from klipot, your heart starts to get purified to feel Hashem, the ability to feel Hashem, and then you start to come closer and closer, and you start to live this relationship, and then you merit to the level of the mesanecha Adonai esna, the things that you hate Hashem, I hate. Right? And what does Hashem hate? Klipa. Hashem hates things that cover up His reality and make it appear as if this has its own inherent good without the spark of God that's in it.
Also, you were saying before that we're supposed to take care of our creation, not other people. So how does that fit with the like, if someone else, let's say, not being with you, if someone's already there, how does he relate to it? Like, he's not supposed to take care of other people to you, Shah.
So again, the question was, how do we relate to other people that we might see other people doing negative things?
When someone comes to a certain level of religion, you're going to start hating.
Yeah. The thing is, we hate actions. We don't hate people.
Of course. But like, when you see a certain action, how does someone at a level of religion react?
He prays for the person, and he hates the negative action that he does, and he loves the person at his heart. Because at its core, he's another piece of Hashem. He's another revelation of Hashem. Maybe that person came just for you to pray to Hashem for him. You saw him do something bad just so that you could pray, because you're holding in Kedusha, and you have power to influence him. That's the only reason you saw it, right? You hate the action. It's like, yes, 90% of our nation detest Hashem, and they don't keep Shabbat, and they disrespect Hashem all the time. What are we going to do? We're going to disconnect from the 90% of our nation? We're only 14, 12 million people in the world. What are we going to do? Become 100,000? Right? 2 million? We have to pray for them. But we hate their actions, yes. We hate it. The gay pride parade, we hate. Do we hate the gay people? No, not at all. We love them with the depth of our heart, and we want them only good. But we hate their actions. Right? Murderers, hate their actions. The person, at his core, we can't hate him. We're not allowed to hate him. Right? So again, we hate evil. But a person is never evil. His actions are evil. And he's just filled with klipa. And we hate the klipa. His neshama, it needs to be revealed. I hope that answered it. And when we hate these things, we hate the things that Hashem hates, then we want to go further and further away from this. And you start to distance yourself. With that said, though, right? We're not meant to be buddy-buddies with everybody that's against Hashem. Because we are trying to guard ourselves, right? So we do distance ourselves from people that are enemies, so to say, of Hashem. And then you start to merit to more pleasant life, right? You separate yourself, exactly. You separate yourself from people that are against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's completely okay. Person wants to act improperly. It's my right to not want to hang out with you. I don't hate you. Love you, but just I can't hang out with you. What am I going to do, right? So the first thing that we're going to go into is Litkadesh Minyanei HaRashut, to sanctify ourselves in the things that are permissible, things that are completely optional. The verse that says, Kedoshim to you shall be holy, it comes to warn us. What is it? Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. Sanctify yourself by way of the things that you're permitted to do. Like the Ramban explained, meaning part of what's called Kedusha is removing ourselves from things that are not forbidden. If they're not, so to say, coming as part of our Avodat Hashem. Right? A steak could be part of Shabbat meal, and it could not be. It could just be because you feel like steak, right? That is not okay. V'yesh lishol, lama? You have to ask the question, why? What's the problem? If it's permitted, what am I doing wrong? What bad is there in a steak? What bad is there in anything that's permitted that I have to separate myself from it? The depth is that internally, Nishmat Yehadut, the soul of what's called Judaism, and Arak Lishmor Al HaMitzvot VeChitzoniut. It's not only just to guard mitzvahs and to do mitzvahs externally. The main thing is to be connected and clinging to Hashem, and to live out and to feel Hashem's reality in this world, and to know the truth that Hashem is always there, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem blessed be He, He is the only good in the world. He is the only true reality in the world. Ve'enot min vado, there's nothing besides Hashem at all. All of the mitzvah of Kedusha, all the mitzvot of Kedusha, the whole purpose is that we should get to more godly recognition, right? Mitzvot, like we learned in the morning, are not, that's not what Hashem wants you just to do. Hashem doesn't just want you to keep 613 mitzvot. Hashem gave you 613 ways to connect to Him. Don't make the mitzvahs into gods. Hashem is God, and that is your goal. The mitzvah is a way to get to Him. Right? There are amazing ways to recognize and come closer to Hashem. And the sins cause us to forget Hashem, God forbid. And therefore, we have to separate ourselves from these things. Like the Zohar wrote, Tariyag Itin, 613 pieces of advice. Meaning, 613 ways to come closer to Hashem. And the intention is not to say that they are optional. They're not optional, because for sure we have to keep as many of the mitzvot as we possibly can. All of them, in theory, right? But technically, we're not Kohens, we don't have to get divorced, we don't have a temple. But we have to keep all of the mitzvot. We are obligated to keep them. They are commandments, as well as connecting points. But the idea is, and the advice, what does it mean, 613 pieces of advice how to get closer to Hashem? They're all ways to get to Hashem, but they are mandatory. We do have to keep them, right? And we have to know that Hashem is always there. For example, the Gadol Ador shenichnas litpoleh b'makom shelo mikirim oto, v'hu haya ha'asiri leminyan. The greatest rabbi in the generation goes into a place that no one knows him, and he's the tenth for a minyan. The people of the place, yodim shu nimtza, they know he's there. They can see a person. He's the tenth in the minyan. He's making the minyan, so they know there is that person, he exists. But truthfully, in the depth of what is going on, it's as if they don't know he's there. He's the biggest rabbi in the world. He just came to make your minyan. You see a person, a human being, but do you know he's there? Right? They don't recognize how great of a person just walked into their shul to make their minyan. So therefore, but when it comes to being the Gadol Ador, they don't know that he's the greatest of the generation. They don't really know who's there with them. What's the example here? Whoever knows that Hashem exists, but he doesn't really know how great Hashem and how he can be found in every aspect of life and how good he is to us, it's so to say as if he doesn't know he's there. Right? And we don't want to be part of that group. Mimele, so therefore, everything in this world, if a person feels, it's as if he has some like good by himself, and he wants that thing by himself, and he feels pleasure from it, in a very, very fine way, it's as if there's a blemish in his recognition and his attachment to Hashem. If you give too much importance to this world, right, we're talking again about permissible things. Alcohol, sex, when you're with your wife, right? When you're allowed to do it. We're talking about things within halacha, right? Drugs, working out, anything that you're allowed to do. If you put too much emphasis on that thing and you think the thing is good by itself, separate from Hashem, you're blemishing the reality that everything is Hashem. What do we need to do? We need to connect only with Hashem and to be completely unified to Him. From a complete decision and recognition on the true reality, she'enod milvado klal, there's nothing besides Hashem at all. He's the only good in every single form and aspect and shape and situation in my life. And therefore, things that are permitted to us, we have to separate ourselves from them. Because we have to recognize that they have nothing to them themselves. Physicality has no special part of it itself. Right? And if they're not used in a holy way, then so to say, they separate a person from his relationship to Hashem, even if they're allowed, even if they're permissible. Because by way of taking them in a not proper way, our unity, our deep unity with Hashem is blemished. And that comes from the recognition that שאין שום דבר אמיתי חוץ ממנו יתברך. There's nothing true that's good besides Hashem. ואין שום טוב חוץ ממנו יתברך. There's nothing good besides Hashem. Because this puts into the hearts of the Jew as if there's other things that you could get life force from. There's other things you could receive vitality from. That you could benefit from. That you could take pleasure from. And this affects your Kedusha. This affects how much you're sanctified. Meaning, it affects the communication and the relationship and the unity that you have with Hashem. So obviously, right, we're defining what Kedusha is. But again, one thing that this book repeats over and over and over again, everyone according to their level, everyone according to their aspects, everyone according to what they're working on, right? We are defining things on a level of definition is black and white, right? But there's levels and there's your own expectation, and only Hashem can know where you're meant to be, and you. You and Hashem are the only beings in the world that can tell what it is right now that you're allowed to do, according to Halakha, but you yourself specifically have to work on, right? Again, for one person it could be this, for another person it could be that. And don't look at your friend and say, hey, you're eating too much meat or you're sleeping too much. That's not what he needs to be working on. That's what you need to be working on, and you're just projecting outwards, right? Don't look at other people. You need to be yourself, but you have to be real with yourself. And you have to separate yourself from things that are completely permissible according to Halakha, but they blemish your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're ruining how much connection you have and how much clarity of that. Nothing besides Hashem in the world. And one more chapter, we're going to stop with that for today. We have much more to learn in this topic. Guarding our eyes. It is the most fundamental part of success. Guarding our eyes. It's known by way of people that serve Hashem that guarding their eyes is the foundation for success. And Shmirat Einayim, guarding our eyes, tofeset makom hachi chashuv b'darkei HaKedusha. It is the most important thing that you could do in the ways of sanctifying yourself. And then when we remember, when we talked about eating, right? How important eating is, right? So that goes on that idea that we were talking about. So to hear, we also have to watch our children, right? From the time that they're born, we have to take care of our children in this aspect of guarding their eyes. Screen time, this, all that, right? All these different things, these words that are coming now, these malachei chabala that are coming up in our generation, right? But we have to know that children, if you have children, their eyes are on you. Their eyes are your responsibility. Bechavon. You paid for it.
Screen time is one thing, but like, you take them out anywhere today, like, it's almost impossible to keep their eyes clean.
No, there's the level that you need to be at, and then there's walking in Miami Beach. Right?
Anywhere.
We've talked about this, Yaakov. There's levels to this, right? There's the level that you're expected to be on. And then there is the reality that your kid, yes, he doesn't necessarily always know, but walking down the street in Tzfat is not exactly walking down the street in Tel Aviv. It's not. It's not, right? So there's phones, makshirim atme'im, and sifrei trefa, books, magazines, and things like that, right? And all these different things that are big damages to the soul. And it affects their head and their heart. And afterwards, the children won't be able to be successful in learning, God forbid. So we have to guard ourselves and we have to guard our children. Ki rak mi shezocheh lekadesh et reyato, zocheh le'enot meruchaniyut elokut yitbarach shemo. Whoever sanctifies their eyes, those are the only people that can really enjoy godliness. You don't sanctify, huh? There you go. Vezocheh l'argish nifla'ot nora'ot ha'torah. A person who sanctifies their eyes, when he uses his eyes now to look inside the book, it's like a wonderful trip for him. It's the most beautiful thing in the world, and he starts to take immense pleasure in looking at Torah and looking at holy things and feels everything. But whoever, God forbid, does not guard his eyes, everything is like hard for him. It's hard for him to go to classes. It's hard for him to learn Torah. It's hard for him to sit down and chill and just be praying. All these things start to become like, you know, it's like drives him crazy. Why? You're not guarding your eyes. And what we haven't learned this yet, but there's a whole chapter on what's called lusts. There it's explained all the ways to fight this war and how to overcome the Yetzer Hara that is seducing you in every way possible. And here, we're going to talk a little bit about it. Ba'adam rotze v'samech lishmo. Person is wants it and he's happy to guard his eyes. You have to know how to do it properly to be saved from mistakes of the Yetzer Hara and how he comes to trick you. What is the proper way in guarding your eyes? You're not allowed to look at what's forbidden. Right? Meaning, to look. To see and to look is not the same thing. Ben berechov, ben bitrachakut mukhletet mimakshirim atmeim shebedorenu. Whether we're walking down the street, in the street you have to guard your eyes. And also from guarding yourself from these terrorist devices that we call phones. Omnam legabe shmirah meiria berechov. When it comes to guarding your eyes while walking down the street, even though it's a mandatory that you guard your eyes, you can't burn the world. It has to all be done in the proper measure, in the right way. What is the way? To pray and beg Hashem that He shall merit you to sanctity. Merit you to be guarded, to be sanctified, and to walk in the more cleaner streets, meaning the safer streets to walk down. Your heart up and your eyes down in the proper way, meaning you can see a little bit in front of you, because if you don't look at all, then you can, right? You can hit a pole, or you can hit a woman. You can walk into a woman, God forbid. Right, and you can hit something that you're not meant to be touching. Don't walk in a thing that you're right, that your eyes are like they're just scanning the road and you can see everything. This is the main way. Don't give up on your eyes. Don't let your eyes go everywhere, because the eyes naturally they're seeking out interaction, they're seeking out things to be grasping on. So you put your eyes down. Your heart is up. You can see a little bit in front of you, so you're not a fool. You don't walk and make a joke out of yourself, or walk into someone else, or walk into a pole, or fall over in the street, or off a cliff, God forbid, right? But in a way that, right, that you're a normal person walking down the street, right? In Sfat, this is much easier, right? Especially if you have a hat and all these different things. V'imalach keroi, if you walk in the proper way, v'chozot nechras l'reyeto davara. And then you're walking, you're doing what you can, right? Your eyes are down, you're doing the best that you can. Something bad comes into your vision, into your frame. And bo ashama vepagam klal. Not only are you not at fault, there's no damage being done at all. Kianus rachmana patre. A person who's forced against his will, Hashem gives you a pass on that, right? Again, that's when you walk down the street that you could have avoided all of the negative things, right? There's this street and there's that street. They both lead to where you need to go. You don't have to go down that one with all the tourists and all the women on it. You could go down that one, right? And then you still put your eyes down where you can see a little bit in front of you, right? But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a girl came in front of you and you didn't stare at her. You saw, but you moved your eyes away and you kept walking. Nothing happened at all. Ven shlemut b'davar hazeh. You will never be perfect in this aspect. Bifrad bizmanenu, specifically in our times. It's impossible. V'tafkidenu lo lechapesh lemut. Our job is not to try to be perfect, just to try as much as we can, to put in as much effort as we can. And this is how the Yetzer Hara tries to push a person down. Et ha'ovdim, the people that are saying, that are holy, that are serving Hashem, he tries to bring them down. V'omer le'adam kol hazman, ra'ita, nichshalta. You saw it. Ah, you saw her, right? You messed up. He wants you to feel that you're not successful. And now you're going to have despair and stop working. Or you're going to go crazy in your head. This is a huge mine. In order for a person to really be successful, you have to be happy and content with everything you're doing. Amazing. To add for whoever didn't hear it, Rabbi Nachman says, if you see something that you shouldn't have seen, and you look away, it's as if you stabbed the Yetzara, you stabbed the devil in his eyes, right? And I also heard here in Abu Av a few years ago in Yom Kippur, a guy came in, they asked him to give a drasha, and he said that whenever you see something that you would love to have a piece of, and you look away, right? Now you're going to be able to see the king, meaning you're going to see more of a revelation of Hashem, which is the most beautiful thing in the world, right? You saw something physically beautiful, you moved your eyes away, and the Chida adds that a person could spit a little bit on the ground, right? Obviously, that also you have to do in the proper way, so it doesn't look crazy, but you spit a little bit on the ground when you see something, and then the drops will come out of here and not out of there, right? Rav Meir Eliyahu, who's a rabbi in Israel, but he was a rabbi in Miami, he said that he told his community in Miami about this thing, this meeting, and suddenly everyone was walking around Miami, pop, 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 pop. Chaim, Chaim. Therefore, it's an obligation. We must know if a person from his side is doing everything he can to walk on the proper, more clean roads that he could walk on, if he could walk on them. And he walks with his eyes down in a proper way. And if even though you do everything you can and you still see something, you have no sin, nothing is blemished, nothing went wrong at all, especially in our generation. There's no reality in the world that you will never see something that you're not meant to see. What is the idea here? To be as cautious as you can. To show to Hashem that you're as loyal as you can be. As much ability as Hashem gave you, you are loyal. I don't want any relationship to negativity. I don't want to look at the girls. I don't want to enjoy from them. I'm not walking down the street in order to see them. I'm doing everything in my power to not do it. What am I going to do? Hashem, you put me in this world and you created that girl too. You showed her how to get dressed this morning, right? And Marasot. And Hashem is happy and proud of us on every little put of effort that you put in truth. With all of that, you still see there's no sin. Look how many times he's repeating it. Ela, Hashem Yitbarach gilgel kach, mechesbonot shamayim. Hashem caused this to happen from calculations that are up. She had to walk by, you had to see her, she needed to do a sin so that she would get paid, she would get punished for it, you had to get a test so that you could grow from it. Nothing's going on here negative in your aspect if you did what was right, right? It was only to arouse you, to sanctify your thoughts, and to bring more holy thoughts, that you want to be part of Hashem, you want to be connected to Hashem. Nachon? But you have to know you have no sin. You did nothing wrong. All the thoughts that make you think as if you've done something wrong, there is a blemish here. It's only from the evil inclination that's trying to push you down completely by way of convincing you that you were not okay. Until he causes you to completely just give up, right? And it might take a few years, but there are people that from such OCD, they're not able to keep up this lifestyle anymore to the point that they end up going living in Tel Aviv because they couldn't, right? And I know people like this. It's like they were holy, holy people. They were trying to be too holy and then, bam, they can't take it anymore. And now they forget holiness. They are the devil himself walking through the street, right? The evil inclination has another path. All the time he says to a person, they should think and be and clinging and be careful. Is there something wrong here? Did I do something wrong? Is there something forbidden here? Did I just do a sin? It's another way that he tries to get you. Don't be busy with this at all. Just keep yourself moving forward on the external things in the right way. Your eyes down. And again, not to deal with it. You do you. What's the outcome and everything? That really doesn't have so much to do with you, right? If you're doing the right thing to begin with, then there is for sure no sin. No matter what you see, don't listen to any voice that comes in your head. You did the right thing, you just need to know. You kept halacha, which is to walk with your head, with your eyes down in the street. You kept halacha. Any thought after that is just coming to mess with you. Rather, you should think, or you should speak and these ideas of sanctity, of Kedusha. V'im eno yachol, and if you can't, completely yesiach dato l'inenei rashut. Take your mind and put it in a different place. V'yikar shelo la'asok b'zeh. The main thing is to not be busy with this. Ela rak ya'amid et atzmo k'ra'uy v'dayo. You don't get into the calculations. Did I do a sin? Did I not do a sin? This. You do what you gotta do, and that's enough for you. It's all you have to do. It's all you're expected to do. V'im bal kocho ra reya asura tov lachshov b'shemot ha-kodesh. L'taken v'la'alot l'itromem. If a person, no matter what, he tried his best and he saw something he shouldn't have seen, you can start to deal with holy names of Hashem. You had a lust, start to think. Yudke vavke with segol, right? Or yudke vavke with shuruk, all these different names of Hashem that now you can use by way of the emotion that you felt. Contemplate on the name of Hashem, feel the proper elevated emotion, and sanctify that thing that you experienced and take it back up to its source. V'lo sheyesh bo avon, ki kvar amanu she'im nizar, azay hu anus. And don't think that you have a sin, because we already said, if you were careful, that means that you were forced against your will. Right? There's nothing you can do. You were forced against your will. You did everything you could, and you still saw something. It's not your fault. Ela she'zeh itgalgel lo liyado kaze davar, ze siman sheyesh kan nitzotz la'aloto. If this thing happened to you, it's a sign that there's a spark here that only you could elevate, and they're trying to give you a gift right now. Get holy by seeing this girl. It's a crazy thing to say, but this is the way of the world. Hashem doesn't do anything bad, so why did He send this person to you? So that you could experience something, feel an emotion in your heart, and elevate it by way of a holy name. And a person has right now an opportunity to cling to the Shekhinah in the strongest way possible, on a much higher and felt way. And what do? Contemplate the name Adnut. Very simple. Aleph Dalet with a Nun and a Yud. And you have intention that you feel the Shekhinah and you feel the vitality and the internal aspect of the whole entire creation coming from the Shekhinah. It's all godliness. And develop in your thoughts, in your head, thoughts and emotions of Dveku to the Shekhinah and love for Hashem and His Shekhinah. And it's also good to intend on a different name, which we're not going to get into right now. But if you want to tell you afterwards, you probably know it. It's from Tipa, the word Tipa, right? Taf Pe, Yud Ke. Next thing, cell phones. Huh? Sorry, Tet. Tet Pe, Yud Ke. Machshirim asurim, the forbidden phones. Why Adnut specifically? Because that's the name of the Shekhinah. In our generation, there is a great, wonderful Yetzara that has been renewed for us. And these are the forbidden phones, the forbidden devices. They are a hardcore klipa, a very hard klipa, and we have to distance ourselves from them as much as we can, to the extreme possible, and not to be lenient on them at all. Again, guys, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm just reading a book. It's not my words. I have a phone and malasot. At least this is what we're using it for, even though they might say it's not good either. If you have a friend that has such a thing, such a device, itnatek mimeno. Separate yourself from these people. Don't know what that says for all you guys and me, but if you guys want to get up and leave, you'd be following Halacha here, according to this, right? V'yaseh k'chol shebechol yoto v'fol b'zeh. Do as much as you can to distance yourself from these people. V'lekol ha'pachot v'shmor al ha'gdarim shetiknu chachmed ador ki b'nafshenu ha'davar hazeh. At least as much as you can, the rabbis of the generation have set up different fences that you need to be following and listening to. We need to be following and listening to. By these things, you have to be the most stringent that you can. Why? This is the 50th gate of impurity. There's no way you could be successful in dealing with a smartphone. Only to escape it and run away from it. Distancing yourself from these things, from these impure devices, is the main aspect of success in our generation. Don't look that they make fun of you that you have a Nokia and you have a dumb phone and you don't have a smartphone. You're worried that they're going to make fun of you, and because of that, you're going to lose your whole entire world, this world and world to come. God forbid, you should care what anybody says about you. And at the end of this chapter, there's a whole entire chapter that we are going to go through about smartphones and internet, because Torah is Torah. And whether we're holding or not, like we have to learn about what a Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur, even though we're not Kohanim Gadolim, we have to learn about the halachot that we're not there yet, in order to get there, Bezat Hashem. And last thing for today is to not look at the words and the writings of people that do Avodah Zarah, meaning the non-Jews that are disconnected from Hashem. We have to not read the words of the Goyim and the Rashaim, the wicked people. Not all Goyim are wicked people, but the Goyim that are wicked people. V'lo mibeik shekatavnu dvarim asurim, ela afilu inyanei rashud. Not only talking about things that are completely forbidden, right? We're also talking about just regular things that are optional to read or not. Just the writing itself, the writer, the author, is putting his soul into that thing, right? His thoughts are going onto paper. His thoughts are from inside his being. They're now coming out, right? So to read a novel, there's nothing bad with reading a novel, or necessarily reading a history book even. But you're ingesting the author. You're taking the author's essence and you're putting it inside your body.
I have a quick question. I'm going to say, I'm very interested in the history of like, where the Viking religion came from, from Swedish, and I couldn't figure it out. Like, where did it come from? It doesn't make sense. They just all they have weird ideas, you know? And I was wondering if I should like find a book that you know, talks about and stuff. And I had an opportunity to buy a history book, and I got a history book about the Vikings. Didn't have nothing about the weird stuff that I think about, but there was another opportunity to buy like a book
I'm not your Rav, right? But on face value, the whole entire world was pagan until Abraham. So it's not really what to look out. That's how the world was.
Right. I guess I just don't get, you know. I just don't. Where does it come
from? I would say save yourself and your soul the damage of going to try to figure it out and just push forward with learning of how to be holy. Again, I can understand why you are interested in it, especially geographically being related to that place, right? For sure, but like they say, chas v'chalila, curiosity killed the cat. Right? We don't want to go. You had any questions? From everybody needs to get rid of that Zohar as fast as possible. Yes, the red one. Yes, yeah. As quick as possible. And I'm going to say it, the K Center, right? Their Zohars need to be removed from your houses and need to be taken out for sure, 100%. There's a whole entire back history, and that is not a goy, it's a Jew that did it. But it's mamash, the words, if you remove it from the printing press, is completely okay. The people that printed it, they are teaching, whatever, right, from another time. But yes, I would love to say their name, and but it's better not to, because we're still dealing with Jews, and the Chafetz Chaim's Ilula was the beginning of the week, and these people are extremely evil if they want to be, and they have the power, and they even have hold in this city a little bit. But yes, there's people in this city that have tons of Zohar. And I went to, in Renana this Shabbat, I was in Renana. I went to a mikveh. Outside of the mikveh is a gemach of books, right? And this whole entire set of Zohar was in the gemach. Why? Which is extremely bad though. Why? Because a person who was clearly told that they're not allowed to have this book felt bad about putting the Zohar in the garbage, which that book should be put in the garbage.
Geniza.
No, not Geniza. Yeah.
Well, it's still going to the ground.
There's straight out opinions that that book should be burnt from that press. Why? Because again, if it's not a kosher to learn, so what are you going to put in the Geniza? I've heard other posting that say get rid of it completely. Why? Because people go to the Geniza and they take things out of Geniza. And they don't know that it's wrong. You put it in the Geniza, that means it's holy.
Rip it up at the Geniza.
Exactly. Destroy it as much as you can. Because if someone goes into the Geniza and they think, oh, this is just the Zohar, and they don't understand, it's put in the Geniza, that means it's a holy book that can't be destroyed. So let me save the whole complete set that looks perfect and was never used, and let me take it to my house. It's a mikshol. These books need to be removed.
Could technically put in Geniza something that's not an unholy book that has the term uses the name of Hashem in the book? Wouldn't that technically still be put in Geniza?
Yes, and there's opinions that if the person himself doesn't know who Hashem is or he's an enemy of Hashem, mm-hmm. then there's no sanctity to the name inside there, and there's no sanctity to the Zohar, and then you can actually get rid of it. So yes, I'm not, God forbid, going against my rabbi. I'm not a rabbi either. Right? And if Rav Yitzchak said to put in Geniza, Rav Yitzchak said to put in Geniza, right? Who am I to go against that? He's my Rebbe. But, with that said, I myself went to a gemach of books that you can take whatever books. I took 7 books out of the gemach, and there was a whole entire set of the Zohar there from the K-Center, right? And very possible that someone else could have walked up and taken those books to their house. Why? Because it's there for taking, right? So it is a very touchy subject, right? But, yeah. I don't know how much our Rav knows the whole background of what's going on there. I know from within the Beit Midrash of the family that created this beginning of this thing, and their opinion is, and they learn Zohar all day long, to get rid of these books completely. Kitzu. So we can't learn their writings. Why? The writer, the author, puts his soul into it. And by reading these things, the person connects to the soul of the author. And in this case, it's not the author, which is Rabbi Shimon, it's the printing press. You connect yourself with that organization. There's people that come with the intellect and they say, what's the problem of reading these things? Yeah, he's a wicked person. He didn't write anything forbidden. It's just history. It's just, you have to understand. Ideas of sanctity, they're not just intellectual ideas. It's not about logic. They are auspicious. They are holy things. These are soul things we're talking about. There's things here that are above normal intellect. Right? Only a big tzaddik can understand and to give instruction in these kind of things, like Rav Addis. Rav Addis wanted to fight Christianity. Why? Because Rav Kaduri said that right before he died, he said that the number one fight in the world is Christianity. So Rav Addis wanted to fight Christianity, being a student of his Rebbe. Huge mikubalim. What did he do? He went in and asked for permission from the highest Rebbe's possible. Can I learn about Christianity in order to write a letter to the Pope? He ended up getting permission. He learned what he needed to learn, wrote a letter to the Pope of how to connect to a God without any intermediaries, sent him a book about doing this, about dveikut, for anybody in the world could get dveikut. And that Pope was the previous Pope who was caught after a brit milah hanging out with too many rabbis. He lives in the Vatican and is not allowed to practice, and he's not allowed to leave the Vatican. And it was many, many hundreds of years ago, but the first pope in 900 years that stepped down by choice, and he's not allowed to leave the Vatican.
And he wrote a letter.
Right? And he wrote a letter back to Rav Addis. You would think you write a letter to the Pope, the height of the Christian world, telling him that his whole entire religion is nonsense. You would expect some kind of, if you're going to get an answer, it wouldn't be so friendly. He wrote back, thank you so much for teaching me how to connect to Hashem on a higher level. I appreciate you. And a whole bunch of praise. And he was removed or stepped down from his position, right? And he's no longer allowed to leave the Vatican's enclave of their Tuma capital in Italy, right? So these are extremely deep things. Last little footnote here. Here you go, here's part of your answer. Included in the idea of sanctity is to not be seduced out of external wisdoms, right? Things that are not Torah. And all the different ways of the non-Jews that are pulled down from Avodah Zarah. It blemishes your unity with Hashem. It's an extremely strong klipa. And whoever is dealing with it, the klipa is trying to come over you until it causes a person, now academia and the world understanding of wisdom starts to become very important to you, more than the sanctity of the Torah. And the truth is that we have to put these things down extremely. All of these external wisdoms, they are nothing in comparison to the wisdom of the Torah. that everything is inside the Torah. V'orosha shel Hashem itbarach is the light of Hashem, Yotzer HaKol, who created everything. V'afilu minei chokhmot ha-mutarot, even the ideas that are permissible, science, mathematics, astrology, they're completely okay, right? They're even part of Torah, someone could say, when used for Torah. But when you just want to learn it just to understand geometry and algebra better, enam ela zayna ne'arot ha-mishartot, they are the seven mistresses, the servants, maidservants. How could it be that you're going to disrespect the Torah and to give honor to a maidservant, to a foreign idea? And we have to overcome this and push these things down and separate ourselves from external wisdoms and to only give honor to the Torah and the Shekhinah HaKedosha up until now, until next Tuesday. Bezat Hashem Yitbarach. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen. And for whoever asked if it's only for the Zohar or all their other books, I would say their Zohar is probably the holiest thing. All their other books are complete nonsense. Everything to do with that center, remove yourself completely from these people. Evil, in the essence of evil, putting emphasis on things that have no business, they have no business teaching about, and spreading it to people that have no business learning about them. And not only that, that they are affecting the people that they're teaching these ideas to, because if you're a non-Jew learning the secrets of the Torah, you are actually obligated by Torah to death. And not only that, that if you don't have the vessel, meaning if you don't keep halacha, because you're not commanded to keep halacha, and you're not keeping Shabbat, and you're not keeping all these things, because you're a non-Jew, and you're not told to do those things, and then you take the loftiest part of the Torah, and you put it inside that vessel, you are shattering that vessel and causing immense damage. So they think they're doing good in the world, and they are actually doing very bad in the world, because they are feeding an extremely powerful light to a vessel that is not able to hold it, and they're doing that for the sake of bringing a rectification to the world, which is actually destroying the world, and it would be better that they shut their mouths, and their whole entire organization, and all of their books, and their holy water that they sell in the lobby of their building.